What's good, everybody? It's your boy Anonymous, the author, aka Anonymous Rap Guy, and I am back with another reaction video, man. It is Friday today. I want to apologize to everybody, man. I missed the episode upload yesterday. And that's kind of what's inspired this episode theme, inspired this episode idea. It's really just the idea of, consistency, man. I have struggled with consistency, my entire adult life. That is definitely something. I don't know if it's a self-motivation aspect. I know what it is. It's just I've always hated doing the same thing over and over again. I don't know why. It's just the repetitive action. It's something about it that gets to me. So I'm definitely going to have to get better at, pre-planning out these episodes, man. People that wake up every day and go to a 9-to-5, man, I envy that so much. People that get up and can just do it and find that inner motivation and find that inner, I guess you have to know what you're doing it for, but man, I don't know what it is, guys. It's every week on Thursday, or even I try to record on Monday or Tuesday. That's usually the day that I try to go in with, or at least that I tell myself that I'm going to go in with. And it just never works out that way. It's something always comes up, something always is happening, something's going on, and I just cannot hunker down and tune in into what I need to do. Once I get started, it's not difficult. Once I get started on the podcast, it's never difficult to sit down and just tear through, 30 minutes. But it's just something about getting in the mindset of okay, I'm going to do it today. And it's only 30 minutes. It's only a 30-minute podcast. I'll only be chilling with your boy for 30 minutes. It's not it lasts all day. But I really wonder, does everyone struggle with consistency? Or am I just being a diva right now? And because, I know it's not only me. Everyone struggles with, just sometimes just getting out of bed. I don't know if it's depression. I don't know if it's just lack of focus. I don't know what it is, but something about hunkering down and zoning in, it's hard for me. And I've tried to meditate. I've tried to really get in the zone sometimes and just mentally just check myself in there. But I don't know, man. I think it's good that I'm talking about it because, the first step to admitting you have a problem is, admitting that you have a problem. I mean, the first step to fixing your problem and getting help is admitting that you have a problem. And I got to think that's what it is, guys. That's the only thing. I want to be able to make dope content for everybody, but it's literally just sitting down and because it's not I have a huge following. I do appreciate everybody that tunes in every week and that, follows the podcast and supports across social media. You guys are dope as hell. I definitely appreciate it. But it's just something about the consistency, man. And it's not just me, because I've noticed that a lot of the people that I listen to or that I'm fans of, as you guys know, I listen to a lot of underground hip hop music and people who aren't that well known. Super underground. I'm talking about unsigned, 1,000 followers on across all social media. I love that kind of music. I'm not a big fan of when they blow up and you lose touch. I like the people that I can just message, people locally that I can just be yo man, your music's hella dope. I don't know. That's just that's how I've always been. I've always been against the big corporations, as you guys know. And that just goes for elitists too. I hate the people, even though I do this. Some people have reached out to me, so I'm a big hypocrite. But because people have reached out to me on social media, and I just don't reply back. I don't know why that is, but yeah, I've always just hated the big corporations and the big companies that they're just out of touch. It's they have to appease so many people and they have such a huge reach and influence. It's it's impossible for them to come back to a local level and to really affect change. And it goes for elitists too. They have all the money, but they also have all the influence, and that determines whatever. If they're not turned on to something, then they have no idea about it. And the only way to know about it is if you get a bunch of clicks and likes and subscribers. And the only way to do that is to have something that's eye-catching and eye-popping. And it's just people die every day. That ain't eye-popping, if you saw a million posts, I think they say a person, well, I know for a fact a person dies every second. Somebody dies every, I think it was a minute in, there's a person that dies every minute in Africa from genocide. So I know for a fact that if you woke up every day and every minute of the day, they just posted and posted everybody, every single individual person who died, I mean, statistics are crazy. Someone dies every 3 minutes from cigarette smoke. A person die. I think it's a person dies every 30 seconds from cancer. It's like if your social media timeline was flooded with that, would that affect change, or would you just eventually get tired of it? Would you eventually just mute it? You know what I mean? Like, people only want to look at what they want to look at, when it's only something that they feel like is impactful to them. And I hate that, man. Like, I mean, some things about this world that we live in today that I just do not like. Like, people argue about dumb stuff, like left and right, and are you Democrat, are you Republican, like who did you vote for? Well, like, dude, none of that matters to me. Like, none of it matters really. Well, in the grand scheme of things, racism is going to be racism. People are going to get killed for stupid reasons. The media chooses to spotlight what they want to spotlight. They love to highlight Trump, but like Emmett Till got killed before Trump. I don't know if y'all know that. I mean, it is what it is. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I understand what people say, like calling people snowflakes and stuff. It's like, dude, like there's like when you have to choose between left and right that are basically in the pockets of the rich, it's like, dude, it doesn't even make a difference. It's like people need to affect real change. Like, people are like, yeah, we need to get social media. Like, the right is like, we need to get social media. Like, I don't even say Republicans, because there was a study that came out today from WKRC. That's a local news station here in Cincinnati, Ohio. And they said one in four Republicans, only one in four Republicans trust the results of the election. And I find it hard that 75% of all Republicans do not agree with the election. I just don't believe that. I just like, I would have to get some real details on what's going on, because I refuse to believe 75% of people refuse to accept re election results that are Republican. Like, to me, that's just an absurdly high number. 50-50, maybe. But I don't think Republicans are as weaponized as everybody likes to present them as. I don't think Democrats are as weaponized as people present them as. I think there are fringe people on the edges that like to cause the issues for the rest of us. Because when you really get down to it, the left and right have gotten so convoluted and confused, they don't even know what they stand for anymore. It's like they change their stances on what they want to vote for on a cycle-to-cycle basis. Like, there's no real moral upstanding on either side. The only side that the right has held true to is their Christian conviction of no abortion. They have held that through since for as long as I can remember, personally. Like, that's something that I will give them, that they have held on to. But outside of that, it's like they have shifted. The left has shifted. You know, when I mean, just to go back, you know, when slaves were first freed, the funny thing is that it was done by the Republican Party. The Republican Party was basically created around the time of Lincoln, and it was supposed to be a party for the people. Then the big switch happened, and the parties kind of changed sides. Democrats used to be people who were big establishments. They were established in like big businesses supported Democrats. You know, lawyers and everything lobbied with Democrats. And, you know, Republicans were all about, hey, we need to get rid of, well, not all about, but when Lincoln finally came along and he found out that there was a way that he could, you know, end slavery, it was like, hey, he even said, like, a house divided cannot stand. So he was the head of the Republican Party. This guy was seen as the head of the Republican Party at the time. He ran on the Republican ticket. I believe he ran on the Republican ticket. And he was met with a lot of ire from established Democrats who thought the Republican Party was nothing but, a fascist branch of the government, that were just disruptors, that went against big business, that were all about just breaking up the status quo. And it's like, huge switch. You know what I mean? Like, it's a huge switch from what was going on then and what's going on now. So when you really think about it, it's like over that period of time, both of these parties have changed and been mutated and just changed into something ugly. Like, it's no longer where it was. And I just don't see how people can, like, with straight faces say that the Democratic Party is the party of the future, when it's like, you don't even know the past of the Democratic Party. Like, people in this day and age love to remove, I've said this in my last podcast, people love to remove historical context, man. Like people love to say, because like people love to say, well, America should be run like a communist country. Like we should have guaranteed minimum wage, and we should have guaranteed, guaranteed health care. And it's like, I mean, that's fine and dandy in theory, but that's not what the country was founded on. Like the one thing about Democrats that I've always hated, because I've been a Democrat for the longest, is just like, they don't realize how out of touch they are with the everyday average person. Bernie Sanders continues to get destroyed by the suburbs, by the average everyday American. And let's be honest, the average everyday American's white. Like, let's be real here. We're called minorities for a reason. If you guys don't know, I mean, I don't know how you've been listening to my podcast for this long, but if you don't know, I'm a black guy, so I might as well tell you guys that now. But the average American citizen is, I believe they said, a middle-aged white woman. They're between 30 and 40, Caucasian, lives in the suburbs. That's the average American. And they're not going to identify with someone like Bernie Sanders, who was saying, hey, we need to help the poor. Because it's like, it's just literally not in their world. Like, that's the biggest thing that Democrats need to realize, is a lot of people don't exist in the world that you try to create. And that's why they lose so often. Like, people are like rejoicing that Biden's in, but people know racism is still going to be around. Biden is an elitist. Kamala Harris is an elitist. These are people that don't agree with the average everyday working class person. Kamala Harris is not working class. Just because she has a day job, being a politician, does not mean she's working class. That's just the way that these things are set up. Like, the people at the highest stages of government are not working class. They will never understand what people like me and you think. Like, you just want to get, I'm not saying average, middle-aged white woman is the average American, but I'm talking about people that would tune into my podcast. Like, it's not the average American. Like, the average American, I think, tunes into like Ellen DeGeneres and like daytime TV. Like, most people tune into that stuff. It's still, people argue all the time, like, well, this blah, blah, blah. It's around for a reason, because a lot of people watch it. So I just don't know what people are expecting, man. Like, I personally don't expect any change from this regime. Like, they might legalize marijuana, but so? Like, if that's a win, if people think legalizing marijuana is a win in the US of A today, then people are dumb. How does that fix anything? Legalizing marijuana, decriminalizing it still doesn't do anything. Now, if y'all want to talk about these measures, the measures that they wrote up in Congress that freeze people that were in nonviolent, got locked up as the result of nonviolent marijuana charges, I can get behind that. The California, they instituted the people that were arrested for nonviolent and that were released. They actually gave them a hand up, in a sense, when they said, hey, you can apply for a business license to sell marijuana, as an apology from the state that you should have never been in prison in the first place. This is what you were selling. Here's a legal way to do it. Here's the paperwork to file and become your own like LLC. And here's the networks to like sell stuff, how to sell stuff through and get distribution. To me, that is a win. Just decriminalizing something does nothing for the years and decades of for the war on drugs. All these people that were locked up just because they wanted to police certain neighborhoods, just because they could, just because they had the authority, just because they wanted to meet a quota, just because they had certain biases. Like, this is the world that we lived in at one point, and just waking up one day and say we're gonna legalize and decriminalize it ain't nothing. Like, people love to focus on the wrong. People's whole thing is like, well, this COVID vaccine. It's like, get your own money. You don't have to worry about being forced to take a COVID vaccine, fam. Like, what I just, people have been complaining so much about this coronavirus and this COVID. It's just starting at this point to get on my nerves. Like, this is America. This is capitalism at its greatest. Like, if you consider yourself an American, you got to chase the bag, man. I don't care how you got to chase it, but you got to chase it. Like, you got to get out there and show them, like, yo, just because the economy stopped, just because I got fired from my job, just because I'm going through a dip in sales, like, it's not going to stop the bag, man. Like, y'all know I started a YouTube page with zero subscribers, man. I started in April, 8 months ago. And all I wanted to do was get to 1,000 subscribers. Like, that's all I wanted. Like, I was really hoping and dreaming, like, yo, I ain't got nothing to do. I ain't got nothing going on. Like, I really need to get out there and hustle and do the damn thing. But now it's just like I'm at damn near 1,200 subscribers in 8 months. Like, and I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep hustling just because you don't know what's next. You have no idea what's coming next in this life game. Like, nobody was expecting the coronavirus to hit the way it did and shut everything down. So now it's like, yo, you got to get your own bag. The only people really paying right now are advertisers. I mean, they've always been the one to pay, like give you ads and stuff for posting things and running commercials, because people are still going to consume even in this crazy time. People are always going to find a reason or way to consume because that's capitalism. Capitalism is capitalizing, and the easiest way to capitalize on somebody is to consume or produce. And I've always wanted to be on the producing side, and it's just linking back to my earlier statement. Like, it's just so hard to sit in. It's so easy to just buy. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to just go out there and buy. Like, when I say buy, I mean purchase. Or, like, it's so easy to buy, like, a comedian set on, like, Kev on Stage, for example. Kev on Stage, he's got his whole, I can't think of the name of it. But he's got, like, a stage where he goes and he performs. Matter of fact, follow at Kev on Stage, man. Super dope, super inspirational. Definitely is one of the main reasons that got me up out of my bed, and definitely made me be like, man, I need, like, because dude is, I mean, shout out to Kev on Stage, man. He said it himself, like, he's a little corny, man. And it's like, that's what I had always been afraid of, like, because I'm corny as hell. Like, y'all don't know, if y'all don't follow me, y'all not understanding how corny I am. Like, I've always been, like, a chill, goofy dude, but it's always been this idea, this concept that somebody has to be like cool as hell, like Mr. Suave, like Mr. Hey, man, I'm all about this. Like, hey, I got the cool little swagger. And I've never been that. I've always been the one to crack like goofy, silly jokes. I'm always the one that I love iteration. Like, I love playing on words. Like, that's my thing. I love it. But some people think it's corny. You know, it's like I've never been the Capone, the stand-up, Capone the comedian, man. To me, he is just dope as hell. Like, he funny, he laid back, he cool. Like, he is what, I saw him at the Funny Bone here in Cincinnati back when life still existed for comedians doing tours. He was here at the Funny Bone here, not Cincinnati, I'm sorry, Liberty Township. And he was just dope. Like, he was super cool, super chill. His energy, his confidence, like, everything about him was just dope. And, like, sitting there, I was like, man, I would love to be that type of comedian, like, that it could just chill out, catch the vibes, like, speak his mind, come up with stuff off the top, and just kill the stage. You know what I mean? But that's not me. I make corny jokes. I smile. I giggle. I laugh. I have a very friendly, positive energy most of the time when I'm not mean mugging, when I'm not waiting on my food. But like Kev on Stage and like everybody over there, All Deaf, like Meg Scoop, To Hear More, Tony Baker has like a skill set that I want so bad. But like everybody over there, like I just, you watch them, Pat, I can't think of his, you know, Pat, I'll just call him Pat. I can't think of his name. Patrick Cloud, that's his name, Patrick Cloud. Like, they're all just hella dope. Like, and they showed me, just from a viewer standpoint, I never met these people. I don't want to give the impression that I know them on a first name basis, but I definitely follow them on social media, and I definitely get inspired by just seeing, like, damn, like Kev on Stage reminds me of, like, one of my uncles. Like, now, granted, Kev on Stage isn't addicted to drugs, but Kev on Stage reminds me of one of my uncles, where it's like, you just, it's just something about you that you just exude a positive energy, and like, you don't have to always be on, and you don't have to always be like super technical about how you want to be on. It's just like, I'm me, and I get to be me, and I get to exude who I am through my words and through my actions and through my speech. Let the chips fall where they may, but I'm always going to be me. Like, he's a Christian comedian. I'm not that. So don't get me wrong. Y'all know I cuss, I curse, I say a whole bunch of controversial things all the time, but at the end of the day, as long as it's coming from a real place, a real sincere place, and it's authentically you, it's well received. And that's what kicked me into this whole like overdrive of like trying to be as dope as I possibly can. It's like, damn, this dude can do it being him. without trying to be somebody else, without biting off somebody's style, without being like, hey, this is what I'm gonna do. So I'm like, I gotta do the same thing. And it's hard to be original. Like I started doing the comedy videos just because I saw them doing it. And like, not just them, but it's weird. Like, the algorithms are odd on social media, just like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It's weird. Once you follow one person, it's like the algorithm realizes like, hey, he likes this kind of stuff. Let me suggest some other people. And that's how I found like a lot of the people that I follow now. It's like when I follow Kev on stage, Tahir Moore came up. When Tahir came up, Tony Baker came up. Tony was tagging Teddy. Teddy was tagging. Like, it just goes all over. I got into the 85 South show. I got into, like, a whole bunch of stuff, man. And it's like, if I never would have got introduced to Kev on stage, I even forget how I met Kev on stage. Like, I forget how I stumbled upon his page. It had to be, like, 2 or 3 years ago when he was at, like, all, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when he was at, like, All Deaf. And, I really just like started watching his videos, and then it just grew from there. And then I saw how he was doing it. And no disrespect to Kev on stage, but like when I saw some of his stuff, I was like, it's not super hilarious. Like some of his stuff is like high grade. Like some of the stuff he's producing now is top tier. Like he evolved into like a top tier comedian. Like I can't even deny that. He's at like over 1 million followers on his social media. Like he really ballooned and grew into this dope person. But like I saw it when people weren't checking for him, when they just had like a couple thousand views on All Deaf, when All Deaf was like on the bubble, and people were calling some of the skits racist and people were hating on it, and like people did a whole bunch of stuff like just hating on the content. But he just like stayed true to who he was, man. He just stayed true to like where he was and like his people, his team, his family. And I'm like, bruh, like you don't have to be the funniest person in the world just as long as you authentic, as long as you goofy, as long as you coming from a place where I want to make people smile. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. This is all love on this side. And then he grew into the businessman. And then he just like, it all starts from one small start. Like, I know that sounds silly. It sounds silly and contrived, really. But it all starts from one small thing, man. And that like, I'm watching him. I'm watching people talk about motivation. And it's just like, I can do this. Like, I'm listening to E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher, Eric Thomas. And it's like, he talks about it, too. It's like, you got to get out there and want it. You can't just sit around and talk about it. You got to be about it. And that sounds so easy and so simple, but it's not. It's just the focus and the drive to say, hey, I'm going to lock in and do this, man. And I'm still not there. Like I said, 1,000 subscribers, 1,200 subscribers that I have right now ain't nothing on YouTube. I'm under 1,000 on Twitter. I'm like at 2,000 on Instagram. And I think Facebook, I got like 2,000. But I'm not anybody, man. I'm just an average dude. Like, I don't have high traffic. I have people who like the page. And I guess I don't create enough engaging content for people. But it's definitely growing. I've seen more and more over the time that I've been doing it. And it just makes me want to keep doing it. But I don't know, man. Y'all suggest a pill or something your boy can take to get my hit me in the right headspace, man. Because I definitely need to get in the right headspace. I definitely need to do it. I don't know if it's somebody in my corner or what, but I just need to build up. I think that's what it is. Y'all know I'm a loner, so I ain't got nobody in the circle. Y'all know what I'm saying? So I need to get it together. So yeah, man. I just kind of wanted to give Kevin on stage his flowers, man. He roasts himself a lot, and he's somebody that I hope you guys check out if you're a fan of his work. He's a really a cool guy. Just third party, just coming across him on social media. It's like, it's really inspirational to see like a dude who was like an app. Because let's be real, like a lot of the people in Hollywood look a certain way. And it can be discouraging for people. Like, man, I'm never going to look like that. Like, that's not how I'm built. That's not how I move. That's not how I go. It's like, that's just not me. So if that's what it takes to be there, then clearly I'm not going to be a part of it. But Kev on stage is the average black dude, man. Like, he just a everyday black dude. Like, yo, I'm chilling. I'm doing my damn thing and I'm kicking it. And it's like, you don't see that. Like, no respect to Denzel, but even Denzel he's older now, but when he was like first coming up, even Denzel had like a certain glow. Will Smith had like a certain glow when it's like, yo, I'll never be that. Because realistically, I mean, to me, I'm a 10, you know what I'm saying? I'm a 10, but I know everybody won't see me that way, and everybody won't be, I won't be received by that way from everybody. I think I have a dope personality, but you know, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people won't get to see that. A lot of people just they judge you off the way you look, and if they don't like the way you look, then there's no way that they're gonna accept you into their psyche or their mental space to let you take up some space in their mental minds. But I mean, that's not what I'm here to do, man. I'm just really here to just be anonymous, man. That's all I can be. That's all I can do is like, I'm not worried about doing nothing else. I won't say I don't have an agenda. I definitely have an agenda. I don't know. I mean, it's just y'all hear it in my music and the stuff that I post and the things I say. Like, if you don't get it, then you don't want to get it, so I don't blame you. But like, I enjoy just goofing around. Don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoy just being a human in the world. But sometimes it is nice to tell somebody your political beliefs or to tell somebody your ideas or concepts about what you're thinking, and to get a little pushback to see, you know, how correct you are or how far off you are from what people are actually thinking out there in the world. I mean, that's always fun, and I mean, that's not the reason why I started this stuff, but it's always fun to just talk to you guys, to talk to everybody. And I promise I'm gonna get more, you know, episode based, and promise to get, you know, more on topics, and promise to go back to filling out these quotes and actually giving you some anonymous the author type material. But I just want to be me at the end of the day, y'all. And I don't think that's too much to ask. Like, can I just be me in the world, you know? And I think that's something that we all want. And I guess that's the message of today's podcast. That's the overall theme, is just dedication, perseverance, being super dope, and being like really cool. Like, find inspiration wherever you can, find motivation wherever you can, be true to you, love hard, live harder, be smart. All right, y'all, man. I'm gonna get on off here. I appreciate y'all for stopping by today. Stay dedicated, y'all. I'm rooting for you if don't nobody else do. Anonymous care if don't nobody else care. But y'all be safe out there. I'll catch y'all later. I'll catch you. Be safe. But more importantly than anything else, y'all know the rest. I'm out. Peace.